Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 6 of the Sales and Sports Podcast. For this week's episode, we take a different approach and Johnny leads with Osama Zaghloul, who's an SDR manager at Oracle. Osama's won Manager of the Year at Oracle and talks about his transition from a finance background into the tech space. Hope you're all going to get some great value. Please do like, subscribe and share with a friend. All the best.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the EnterTech podcast once again. My name is Johnny Mpuyi, Head of Academy and Head of Partnerships here at EnterTech. Of course, as always, with our podcast series, we've got a wonderful guest on. I'm going to let him introduce himself in a minute. But the aim of the podcast is really to understand the minds and the ideas of hiring managers and leaders within the industry to help as many SDRs or aspiring SDRs as possible, and just to connect and share ideas across the industry. So, Osama, if you don't mind introducing yourself, where you currently work, and what pushed you to come and join me on this podcast today?
Absolutely. Thank you, Johnny. Yeah, so my name is Osama. I'm a BDR manager here at Oracle NetSuite. It's just gone just a little bit above 1 year now. So it's been 1 year and 2 months that I've been a business development manager here. Funny enough, I had a completely different background, and I will talk about this in a minute. Mm-hmm. Coming from banking and finance background, but what pushed me here is really my number one passion, which is helping others.
Yeah,
I think one of the most rewarding thing for me as a BDR manager, and even as a manager, even in my previous roles,
yeah,
is to help others in their career journey. Is really kind of rewarding thing for me, and I'm really passionate about that. It's not just about their career, by the way. Like, you know, for example, yesterday I did run a session to all BDRs across the regions.
Wow.
About like financial health, okay, obviously, especially with the current situation of rising cost of living. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that they're all aware of the kind of like, you know, how to make the most out of their money. Mm-hmm. In terms of like budgeting, in terms, yeah, of like all the pension, investment, saving, all this sort of things. So I have that great passion of helping others.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, like, you know, in the background of that, that's why I'm here, really.
Absolutely. And how many BDRs do you guys have altogether at Oracle? Oh. Approximately. Put you on the spot there.
No, Oracle overall, it would be over 1,000. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, like, you know, but in terms of like NetSuite, mm-hmm, itself, NetSuite, I think we have just over 200 and something in the US.
Okay.
No, 300 something in the US, and I think 160 in EMEA. So, yeah, we have a lot of BDRs. We have different hubs, right?
Right.
Even in the US, we have different hubs.
Mm-hmm.
And then in EMEA, we have the Malaga hub, mm-hmm, London hub, Reading hub.
Wow.
So we have different hubs, and obviously every hub looks after specific regions.
That is incredible. And I think, you know, to touch on what you said about helping people. So we've had Osama on our guest speaker series to speak to our cohort recently. And honestly, the feedback was incredible, right? I think your energy, your enthusiasm, and the way you can connect and inspire young people looking to get into the industry really stood out. I mean, I was on the call trying to sort of facilitate the call for the cohort, but I had my pen out and I was taking so many notes on what you were saying because it was so valuable. And that obviously leads me on to the next question in terms of your story getting into the tech industry, because as I've said to you before, and anyone that watches the podcast will know, our aim is to get as many people into the tech industry, especially people from a BAME background and more females and any background really. But I think right now, situation with the tech industry is that people that haven't gone to university, people that, you know, don't know anybody that's in the industry, they don't believe that they can get into it. So it would be fascinating for our audience and for myself to really understand your story. So roll back a couple of years, you finished education. How was your journey to getting into the tech industry?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, Johnny, that my journey was coincidental, right? It was really coincidence, right? Okay. Unintentional.
Right.
But my advice to others now and everywhere is like, be intentional. If you take the necessary steps towards something, you will achieve it sooner or later. But now you have different people got different kind of approach. Some people give up in the first interviews. Oh, it's not for me. Bye-bye. Okay. Yep. Some others, like me, I don't take no for an answer. I will keep knocking.
I love that.
Okay, so did I get no's? Oh, plenty. I lost count. All right. But with every no, you learn something, because your first interview, you probably first of all, let me put it this way. You apply for jobs, you'll be ghosted. No one will reply.
Absolutely, I can relate with that.
That's normal. That's normal. Mm-hmm. It's not normal for the person who had never been to this process before, but the person who had been through this process many times understand that this is normal. Absolutely. You will apply, not even yes or no. Okay, then if this continues to happen, then you need to review your CV. Something is not right in your CV. It's not passing the initial stage. When you do that couple of amendments, then you start receiving, you're not the right fit candidate. All right, that's a positive sign. All right, that's a positive, believe it or not, it's a positive sign.
Why is that a positive sign?
Because they start replying back to you.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if someone looked at your CV, and then no one will send you a suitable candidate without looking at your background. Okay. Now they looked at your CV and they saw that you're not, so you are getting there. Okay. The next stage from that. Okay, that someone will invite you for an interview. Yep. It's a process. You cannot jump. You might be lucky once. You might be lucky once and you get invited straight away.
Yeah.
Okay. That means your CV is good. Right?
Yeah.
But then you kind of like you need to follow the process. So you'll be invited in an interview. Guess what? Your first interview, you're not going to pass. Why? You're going to say something not right. You're going to answer not the right answer. Someone has been ahead of you in that journey. Someone has already been through doing this a few times. Okay. So take it. Take the feedback. Take the learning from that. All right. Apply for the next one. The next one, you will kind of like, you know, it depends of how prepared you are from the last one.
Yeah.
And you go, you might get it and you might not get it. You also need to understand there is a luck element, right? You might go for an interview and you are the strongest candidate because there's not enough candidates. So I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
If you are an Italian speaker, okay, or speaks a different language.
Yeah.
Even though, like, you know, you're not the most kind of like suitable candidate because your background doesn't fit, but because there's shortage in the market, they will consider you.
Absolutely. Okay?
So it depends of how strong you are.
So,
but if you are alone there in the interview and, like, you know, and things are happening all good, you get the job. But if you are an Italian speaker and there's another Italian speaker who did a business development before, your chances is lower. It's okay. Keep going. You will get it.
I love that.
And that's my really advice. Just keep knocking towards your target. Find out why you didn't get the job in that time. Find out why you're not being successful. Find out why you're not kind of like, you know, getting the interview, and work on the reason.
Right.
Why am I not getting a response? Work on that. Why am I not getting invited to an interview? Work on that. Just be creative and work on these things. So one of the things that I always advise BDRs, do cold messaging, for example. Right? Why you stand out of the crowd? You like, you know, you look at a BDR role, LinkedIn, over 100 applicants.
Yeah,
you stand out in this 100 applicants. And by the way, not all 100 qualify. So, for example, I'll give you an example. We hire sometimes German speakers or Arabic speakers. Let's talk about Arabic speakers. Arabic speakers, 150 applicants. How many of them goes to the interview? 15. Oh, how come? We don't sponsor visa. So many people applying from outside the UK, they want the visa sponsor. And so it's sometimes the numbers are inflated. Okay? So don't worry about these factors. You don't know what is happening in the background. Just go do your bit. And just the results are not, you're not responsible for it. So I think my advice is, just as I mentioned, just make sure that you're not confining consistently going and going. And then, of course, you get some people in the journey, say, like, after one interview or someone, an interviewer said something to them.
Yeah.
They determine their future based on one action and one say or whatever. I find that not very, not very good, I would say, because, like, I wouldn't let anyone else to determine what my decisions is going to be or what my career is going to be. I determined that myself.
Absolutely.
I got no from a hiring manager. I will get a yes from another one.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think that's kind of my advice.
I love that.
Same question. I drifted.
No, but this is what it's about, right? It's really about going where the energy takes you, because that's a fantastic approach. And I think some of the things that you've touched on, many people really let their future be affected by the factors you've mentioned, whether it's not trying hard enough, whether it's letting an action affect, you know, once someone saying something to them completely affects them. But I guess that perseverance and that ability to keep going, how did that approach sort of help you break into the industry?
So I do a lot of analyzing data, right?
Yeah.
One of the things I used to do is, obviously, I was applying for a BDR manager. I didn't even know what it's, I mean, I was working in the bank. I was a branch manager, right?
Right.
So what I used to do is, I used to go into companies,
mm-hmm.
and I look at the BDR manager's history. Right. I want to see what history led to that job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did that, I came to understand that there's so many of BDR managers. Yes, so many of them became like a BDR account executive, BDR manager. But there are others mm-hmm. where they're actually coming from completely different industries.
That's true.
So, all right. So it encouraged me. And I would really encourage BDRs to do the same. Go to the BDR in that organization. You want to join whatever organization, look at BDRs, look at their background. It gives you a better picture, okay? Mm-hmm. So I did that, and then I came into kind of different companies. I came to the conclusion my background is actually very good mm-hmm. To become a BDR manager. So I applied for jobs, and believe me, I got so ghosted, unsuccessful. So many.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't stop me. It's just, in fact, I'm actually just close. I'm getting closer.
Absolutely.
I came into the Oracle NetSuite here, mm-hmm. and I got invited for the interview. And guess what? I do homework very well. I checked all interviewers' LinkedIn.
Why is that important? Oh,
because you will be able to use this in your answers, and I will show you that now.
Absolutely.
One of the BDR managers, one of the leaders, which is director. Which before director, she used to be a BDR manager. And before BDR manager, she was a paralegal. Okay.
Okay. Interesting.
And I studied law, right? And believe me, if law can become a BDR manager, a banking person can become a BDR manager. Funny enough, one of the interviewers asked mm-hmm. me, how come you're making a move from this to this? And how can you kind of like see yourself mm-hmm. successful in that industry while you don't have any idea about any ERP or SaaS industry?
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much. Very good question. And straight away, I fired back because I've done my homework. I said, the fact that the X person is a director interviewer in this interview tells me that that person is very successful. And that person started the journey from there, not relevant at all. So in the back of that, I can tell you, I can exactly the same build success and being coming from a different industry, I will have a different perspective,
absolutely.
Which I do believe that it would add a different additional to the kind of like, you know, boom.
Yeah.
But now, I even like now when I get like, you know, for example, approached by recruiters and some of them, they say, you don't have enough experience as a BDR manager. 1 year and 2 months only. Tell them, hey, mate, right, I got BDR managers in the organization. They've been a BDR manager for 4 or 5 years in different companies. But guess what? I'm the one won the top performing manager out of 14 managers, right?
I love that.
It's not based on how long you've been as a BDR manager. It's based on how good your work ethic is.
I love
that. So don't judge me by how long. And I get this conversation sometimes with recruiters when I tell them my asking is blah, blah. I say, no, but you don't have enough experience. So, well, okay, go and get one experience then that has been underperforming for 5 years. It's nothing. Listen, we're working in sales. You better sell yourself.
Absolutely.
An interview is selling yourself. Mm-hmm. So find your techniques, sort out your pitch, and go on, get it. That's my kind of like, you know.
Yeah. I love that because there's so much knowledge and value. I think a lot of people in different roles can take from what you're saying, really. I think, first of all, having that confidence and self-belief to say, you know what, this is the criteria, this is the usual way of doing things. But because I believe in my ability to go into an environment and perform, I'm going to believe myself. I'm going to back myself. And like I said, you're going to sell yourself. And that also requires a positive mindset, right? But then one thing that I also liked in terms of your approach with how you got the BDR manager's job was the research. I mean, whether you're an SDR, anyone in sales will understand how crucial research is. And I think for anybody looking to get into the industry, before you go for that interview, before you speak to that individual, I mean, LinkedIn, Google, these are free tools that you can really go on and get as much information as possible. So I really appreciate that. And, oh, so a lot of times that we have people on, you know, they've been SDRs before and we'd ask them what was the good part of that experience, what was the bad and what was the ugly. But of course, from yourself, it'd be great to get a different insight. As somebody that manages SDRs, what do you love about your role? And what do you find challenging? And what's one thing you'd like to change about maybe the perception or the way BDR managers do their work? So it's a bit of a freeloaded question there, if you don't mind breaking that down for us.
Yeah, let's start with one first one.
Yeah, let's start with a good. What's the great things about being a BDR manager?
Well, the beautiful thing about being a BDR manager, as I mentioned to you, is that you get to play a big part of other people's career, okay? And I would like to believe that I play a good part, okay?
And you know, why is that important to you, though, as a person? When you think about your upbringing, your family, your background, your culture, because, you know, that's a fantastic attitude to have. But what created that within you? Why do you care so much about helping people and having that positive impact in their life?
Because someone did help me, all right? So one day, I was also working in hospitality. That's okay. Like, you know, there's no news. And then someone, a customer of mine, told me, "Mate, you're very good. Like, you know, you should do this and that." Yeah. I was like, you know, I didn't believe myself and myself much at that time.
Right.
I don't think I can do it. So, no, if I can tell you to do it, you can do it. Right? And that person, like, you know, prepared me just... He just opened the question for myself. So it just made me wonder, can I do it? Can I not do it? He just did a couple of conversation with me and then left me to swim.
I love that.
And then from there, I kind of like, you know, left hospitality, worked in like, you know, my way into like, become an individual contributor first.
Right.
I struggled at the beginning a little bit to kind of get my quota. And then... like, you know, found my way, learn, go around, ask. No one will give you. You need to go and get it, right?
Absolutely.
So I went around to the top performers. Hey, what do you do? They're not going to tell you the full story. Try to observe, get the best, and go to the next one. Mm-hmm. Hey, he's not going to tell you his secret as well.
Or yeah.
Secret. But just try to observe. Like, listen, do this. Be hungry. Mm-hmm. I did that. And guess what? It took me about 4 months, yes. All right. It's very tough this 4 months because you're like, you know,
of course,
you wonder yourself, you doubt yourself, like, can I do it? I'm not very, I can't do it. But then, right, I kind of like, I got it. And guess what? I got the best quality out of everyone, formulate my own formula, and boom, 230 over expectation, 250 over expectation, 300 and something over expectation. And I smashed the number and I really enjoyed it.
I love that.
The name over there. So for a year and a half, I was doing that. And also, you get always people around you, like, you know, you get the one that supports you and you get also the one that drags you down.
Of course.
So you get people like, you know, Osama, why are you doing so much, mate? Why? It's not worth it. Why are you doing? Sometimes I was doing the manager job, deputizing all of that. Why are you doing the manager job and he's getting paid for it? You're not very smart, mate. I got my goal. I don't care what they say. My goal is, yes, I'm doing the manager job.
Yeah.
He likes me. And the first opportunity for a manager, I will have examples to say.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what happened. The first opportunity to become a manager, he told me, what skills do you think you have? So I technically do the job because advertising them, I do this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then I got the manager job straight away. That's beautiful. The first interview, by the way, from the third interview.
Right.
But this is, I have my goal.
Yeah. Okay.
After becoming a sales manager, okay, I moved on. And guess what? The people who told you, why are you doing this? You're not very clever. Mm-hmm. I left the organization and you've been there for 5, 10, 15 years doing exactly, which is fine for me, but it's fine for them, but not fine for me. That's not my personal goal.
Of course.
So my end goal is, what I'm trying to say is, like, you know, put a plan for yourself, trust yourself, mm-hmm. don't doubt yourself. I personally believe one of my main success, the reason for success, because I believe if another human can do it, I can do it.
I love that. Absolutely.
Like, literally.
Like, a human, you know, like you. You know what I mean?
Like, so. You got a brain, I got a brain.
Absolutely.
Okay? If you work on anything, mm-hmm. you will gain the skill. If you work on it. Okay?
I completely agree.
You rubbish in presentation, learn it, go on YouTube, find out things, watch things, you practice and do presentation in front of other people, mm-hmm. 3-4 couple of times, you would be good at it. You spreadsheet. I'm not very good at spreadsheets. Mm-hmm. Again, go play with it, get it wrong, do it, you will get it. I'm not very confident over the phone. It's right. They all start that way, yeah. Right? So unless you're gifted, you're born gifted over the phone, I mean, no one is, right? So you're going to have to work with these skills. The football players, do you think they were born like this?
Not at all.
So much work in the background. Oh, I would love to get this much money and have this publicity. They work so much. They can't eat anything. They have specific rules they follow. They sacrifice so much. They've done so much to reach this. But yeah, people from far away, they don't see this. Oh, yeah, I would love to be like this person. This person played so much. Exactly the same on Olympics. Oh, the Olympics winners.
Yeah.
You work so much in the background to reach that moment that you see in the TV.
Absolutely. Now, I love that. I mean, there's so much. Again, this, I wish we'd had 5 hours because there's so much to take away from what you're saying. But I guess from your own journey, one thing that sort of touched me was the fact that somebody believed in you, right? And they open your mind to a world of opportunities. And when the opportunities came, you have to take them, you know, because opportunities can present themselves and some people don't take them. So I really appreciate that. And I guess on the more challenging side then, being an SDR or BDR manager, what do you personally find challenging, right? And as a result of finding it challenging, how can SDRs or BDRs make life easier for you, especially for people that are looking to get into the industry, people that are looking to become SDRs and BDRs? What is the thing that you find challenging at the moment of managing a team, and how could they help you make that your life a little bit easier?
I think the most challenging part for me as a BDR manager, to be honest, mm-hmm. is I get a little bit frustrated for young BDRs, for example.
Right. Why is that?
They're not taking their career very serious, right? They came in, all right, yeah, I want, like, you know, okay, let's do this, and what I got, but they have no plan. Right. I asked some of my BDRs, and like, hey, what's your plan for the next 2-3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, they don't answer. They don't have an answer, okay? And I get frustrated with this. Your career is very important.
Absolutely.
Your career and your earning is what funds your lifestyle, so that you're the things that you love, the things you're passionate about.
Absolutely.
You got the opportunity to become an SDR. It's a great entry level job, mm-hmm. to become amazing.
Absolutely. Right?
You need to give 110% as a BDR, okay, to stand out of the crowd, because I told you that we have over 1,000 BDRs. You need to stand out. Not all of them will make it to sales, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's an entry level to sell. So you need to plan. What's your strategy,
mm-hmm.
to become amazing?
I love
that. Take the next one, and from the next one, you're gonna get the next one, mm-hmm. and then at some point you will chill and do, like, you know, less effort and just, but not in the initial one.
Yeah, because
the initial one is the most important part.
Exactly, and as a leader, right? If you see somebody serious with a plan, it fills you with confidence. It motivates you as well to really help them achieve that goal. So I really appreciate that. And it's something that through the academy, we definitely try to get that through. You know, it's a fantastic opportunity. You got to grab it with both hands. Now, this is a sales and sports podcast, so we do like to touch on sports a little bit before we finish. What's your favorite sport, Osama? What do you like to sort of entertain yourself with when it comes to sports?
Well, funny enough, I do like cycling.
Okay, fantastic.
I know that normally people would expect football, but I'm not a big fan of football.
Guilty.
However, I do support Liverpool.
Right.
Liverpool because of Salah.
Okay, of course.
I'm imagine. Originally Egyptian and he's Egyptian, so that's where the kind of like I support Liverpool.
Definitely.
Anyway, going back to the cycling, I do love cycling. I cycle to everywhere. I use my bike everywhere.
What's the longest distance you've cycled? Approximately.
I think it was from Hammersmith to Epsom.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I'm not from London, so I'm trying to imagine how long did it take you to get there approximately?
Because
it sounds like a long journey, but I can't confirm or deny that yet.
It's a journey, I will tell you. It's around 1 hour and a half.
Wow.
And it's miles.
No, listen, Osama, now I go to the gym and I try sprinting on the cycle for about 30 seconds, and honestly, my legs are killing. And to connect that to business, right? Because that, again, it takes a character. It takes perseverance because as you're going, you've got a goal, you've got a name, you want to cycle from point A to point B. And along the way, you're going to be tired. You're going to have, you know, distractions on the road and you're going to have that mental challenge where your body's telling you to stop, but then you have to keep pushing. How would you connect cycling to business, right, and to sales specifically? And what are some of the lessons that we can take from cycling and apply it to business or vice versa?
Absolutely. And I have a very strong connection here.
Okay.
Because like at the office, I cycle now from Chiswick all the way to Moorgate, right?
Wow.
A lot of my like colleagues are like, how do you do that? Like it's so long, after a long day, you're tired. I don't see it that way.
Right.
I see it in a different way. I see it that like, you know, I enjoy that journey.
Right.
I want BDRs to do the same because they need to enjoy that journey of you need to enjoy that journey. It's a journey and you need to enjoy that journey. During that journey, you get that taxi driver who shouts at you and pisses you off, or that driver who is about to hit you, and you will have downside time.
The
one quarter you didn't do very well, mm-hmm. one call that the prospect shouted at you, one time that you doubted yourself, but guess what, you will reach, you are still in the journey, you're moving. The most important thing,
absolutely,
that you are moving.
You're moving.
The minute you stop, I stop my bike and I'm like, I can do this anymore, I have to jump in the bus now, I can't do this journey.
Mm-hmm.
You failed. Right, kind of like, you know, just carry on no matter what happens in this
journey.
I
love that.
Unless you had a car accident and you kind of like, you know, all right, so I don't think anyone does in a BDR journey. I think just continuing that journey, and that's what I see. I see that, you know what, I want to get to the point A to B,
mm-hmm.
okay. And when you get there, you feel that nice feeling of like, that, you know, you reach your goal.
Yeah.
Every day, it's a very nice feeling. And this is not just for cycling. This is for anything you're trying to do in your life.
Yeah.
Anyone told you, I got from point A to B, nice and smooth, without any interruption. Either he's lying or privileged.
1,000,000%. I love that. And you know what's interesting? I really relate with that, right? Because I came from card factory and I was just, you know, doing card factory sales, selling cards and gifts and stuff. And I went into an industry, cybersecurity, and doing the SDR role. And the reason why I really relate with that is because at the beginning, it was so difficult, Osama. I did not know what environment I'd walked into. I didn't know anything about cybersecurity. But I guess it's that mentality of having a goal in mind and continuing to fight through that. So, you know, I really appreciate that connection. And obviously, you touched on before that you've received awards and Oracle being the best SDR manager globally. Congratulations for that, by the way.
Not globally, EMEA.
EMEA, okay. Well, I mean, global.
It's not global, best, right? Okay, best is a very wide word. Okay, so
well, SDR of the year. You've got to own it sometimes. You've got to enjoy that. I think
it was a top performer in EMEA. Okay, and it was kind of like appointed to me by the vice president in the US.
Brilliant.
So,
and what period was this?
Sorry,
what year was this for?
This was for the last financial year. Okay, so Fisher year. Sorry, so. So that was very good for me as well, for my own esteem, to know that, you know what, I've done a good job.
Of course.
Like, because guess what? The beginning of the journey, I was also doubting. Oh, if something Ryu, BDR, SaaS, ERP solution. I'm a guy who's like, you know, working in banking for a bit.
Yeah.
But then guess what? I'm now like, you know, if anyone doubts me, I will back straight away back to them and say, hey, like this and that, this is my achievement. And you know what? I'm one of these people. I kind of like, you know, be proud of my achievement. This is with the Oscar nomination that I got.
Congratulations.
In my HSBC, like, you know, I always won different awards.
Show them all.
Like, you know, best, like, you know, manager, all these kind of things.
Yeah.
And consistently, year after year, I was nominated for a world, like, you know, a nationwide award called the Extraordinary Award, where I had to go to kind of like, you know, Liverpool for the top managers in HSBC. And I won it 2 years consistently in my 3 years managerial at HSBC.
This is
very important for me.
Absolutely. Okay?
You're doing a good job. It's important.
And you should be proud of yourself, right? Because the reason I brought it up, and, you know, I'm always looking to learn personally myself as well, and anybody watching, because for somebody to be recognized by other people consistently, it means there is something they're doing that nobody else is. So if I could ask you, I know it's hard to sum it down. I know there's different ingredients that go into making a successful person. And you may have spoke about it before as well. I'm sorry if you're sort of repeating yourself. But what is the one thing, and try to keep it one thing, that you would say sets you apart and gives you that consistency of performing at a quality level?
One thing, you know, I'm one of the people who do talk a lot. So I'm trying
sum it down to one thing and say, you know what, if I didn't do this, if I didn't have this, I would not be as consistently successful as I am.
If I don't push myself out of my comfort zone.
Fantastic. Why is that?
That's my best quality, I would say.
Right. Okay. And why is that important for anybody looking to get into the industry or any SDRs looking to get to that next level?
Because we are always afraid of something new, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, oh, can I do this? I'm not sure. I've never done it before. I've always done this bit. I've never done that bit. Maybe I'm not going to be very good at it. What if I'm not successful? You always have all these questions. It's in everyone's mind when you try to do something new. But only the one that have the courage actually to, you know what, I'll go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go ahead and do it. And this is one of the best qualities that you can have. You know what? I'm not afraid. Even if I go and fail, well, I've learned something new, okay?
Absolutely. But
because I trust myself so much and I know that my work ethics will work anywhere, okay? I go on and I'm not afraid.
I love that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And everyone doubts something. Oh, my English is not very good. My English is not first language. Oh, I don't have that skills. Oh, I never worked remotely before. Oh, I never done Zoom before. Oh, this is SaaS. I'm not sure. You always have this kind of, this is all in their mind, but this is all kind of like, you know, disappears once you learn, when you go and you kind of like, you know, put the effort to learn. This is really important. I'll give you a small story in the back of this.
Please.
Tell you a little bit about my personality, and this is important for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I face my fear in everything, right?
Right.
Including things in my personal life. So I don't, for example, I don't like needles.
Okay? Oh, I hate needles.
I hate them, and I hate to see them come into my flesh and skin like this. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
Guess what? For the past 12 years, consistently, I donated blood. Okay, I go and face my fear to do this.
You're inspiring me right now.
And guess what? Every single time, I swear to God, I never look when they put the needle in my skin. Okay, I look on the other side.
Oh, just thinking about it is making me...
So I still have the fear. I still don't like it. But, and I still don't look at it, but I look on the other side and it's not going to stop me from doing that good thing.
Absolutely. Okay.
So exactly, if you have that attitude towards everything in your life, you will smash it.
Oh, Osama, I appreciate you. I think it would be a crime to not end it on that note because, you know, I think that sums it up, right? Stepping out of your comfort zone and pushing yourself. I really appreciate your time. I am aware of the time as well. I'd like to thank anybody that sort of tuned in and watched the Entertech Sales and Sports podcast. Osama, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. As always, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be inspired and definitely helped by this video. So it's been a pleasure, as always. And until next time, Osama, have a great day.
Thank you, Johnny, and I wish everyone good luck.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye.